Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Happy Friday, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. Thank you, as always, for joining us today on this beautiful Friday afternoon. So much to get to. Libby Emmons, one of my favorites from the post-millennial, is going to join us to talk about the utter insanity that we've been seeing on college campuses, everywhere from Harvard to NYU to Columbia to MIT. Thanks to the student body's pro-Hamas contingency, which they keep trying to tell us, like, oh, no, it's not that big. Or no, it's just these are just a couple of bad apples who are hijacking the movement.
It's like five people.
Going, well, those five people have a lot of Hamas merch. I'll tell you that. I don't know where they're getting all these flags from. And I know I keep saying this, but the whole a couple of bad apples shouldn't spoil the whole batch thing, that didn't work with any sort of conservative protests. So I'm just playing by the rules that I was taught. This is the rules. This is the rule book that was set out for me, and I'm playing by it. One bad apple, according to the left, can define the entire group. And I would say that the yarn spinning, the yarn twirling, dancing, Jew hating students are definitely emblematic of a bigger problem, dare I say. I know Paul Krugman's not worried about this brand of anti-Semitism. I'm a little worried. I'll put my hand up and say I'm a wee bit concerned. By the way, USC canceled the main graduation. So you know how these schools will have a main graduation and then they have all different ones for the different schools or the different majors? They're canceling the main one because, as Kurt Schlichter calls them, the Hamas huggers are going to get their way. The Hamas huggers who are disrupting the other students from going to class and going about their day, you know, the students who aren't crazy, Jared, those are the students who will be punished in this situation. And this is a theme that I talk about pretty frequently. It comes up a lot, but I think it's because it's a big problem in our current culture. We punish the people who are behaving. And you know that expression, the squeaky wheel gets the grease? We have become a nation that capitulates to squeaky wheels. We bend the knee to people who need to be told no, who are in fact crying out, who are desperate to have someone hold them accountable, who would truly benefit from consequences and benefit from understanding. It's late in their lives to understand this, but they have to understand it at some point, so why not now? Understanding that the world does not shape itself around your tantrums and your meltdowns. And it's twofold, like so many things are that we talk about here, because it isn't just that the loudest and most obnoxious wheels get special treatment. It's that the people who are just trying to get by have their lives or their commutes or their celebrations or their graduations or their religious worship masses or ceremonies or their safety or their whatever it might be, disrupted and trampled on so that the loudest, most obnoxious anti-Semites in this case, but you know, you can enter in whatever you want, climate change people, like you can, they just pick up different posters depending on the day, so that that group of people can be coddled and can be celebrated and can be protected. That comes at a cost. And the cost is that a regular family who might have wanted to go see, for example, the first person in their family to graduate. If you have a, let's just envision, this still happens. It doesn't happen as often now. I know Joe Biden likes to talk about that. I think he was the one, or his dad was the one, or he was the first one in his family, and that was debunked like everything else. But for a lot of families, that person graduating might be the first person in their entire family history to graduate from school. And if you have that son or daughter who's graduating from Columbia, and you're excited, and you want to go see the campus when it's all, you know, beautiful. And I know they're saying, oh, we have other celebrations set up. That's not the point. It's the principle of the matter. That the person who's not done anything wrong, the person who's actually done the right thing, is going to be, is going to have something taken away from them. And it drives me crazy. And I hope the pendulum swings. And you can talk about this with so many things, especially the one that comes to mind for me is the border. You have people in this country who waited, who went through the process, who paid thousands of dollars, who found patients they probably didn't even know they had in order to get to the United States of America. And then they got here and they kissed the ground and they worked their asses off and they try to do the right thing. And then you have people who cross over the border who don't have to go through any process whatsoever. And what you do when you allow that is you're saying to the person who jumped through hoops and took the hard road, it might not have been the easiest road, it was the harder road, but it was the correct one to take, and it was the legal one to take. You're telling that person that they're basically a fool, that they would have been better off doing what somebody does who just crosses over and breaks all the laws. And we're doing that in so many different areas of our society where we're saying, oh, you know, you went to school. You're not out here chanting that you want to burn down Tel Aviv and that Zionists don't deserve to live. Well, make sure you stay in your dorm because classes are canceled for you. It's completely backwards, and we keep doing it. 844-500-4242. I hope people wake up. I don't know. I keep saying I don't know how this continues for the next 4 years. So please wake up. If you've got somebody out there, if you've, you know what I would encourage people? If you have a son or daughter who might be a little to the left, give them a call and don't badger them about it, but just say, please tell me you're going to vote for Trump. Just, and I won't bother you again. I won't talk about it again. A lot of these Gen Zers, they don't like to talk about it, but please, for the sake of the future of the country, for everyone's sanity. I understand people don't like him, but it's so beyond that now. We have people out there chanting, like Jew haters chanting on college campuses. And they're the ones with the donuts and with the, you know, oh, are you okay? Did the sprinklers hurt you? I hope you're not too wet. Please move your bags and your sleeping bags and your tents so that they don't get soaked by our sprinkler system, our Zionist sprinkler system. Now, in good news, just to pivot here, Trump hush money trial is imploding. And the prosecution's decision to call David Pecker as their first witness is proving to be ill thought out, which surprises me coming from Alvin Bragg's office. You know, the fact that this Alvin Bragg team, based off, you know, all the wonderful work he's done, the fact that they would make an ill-thought-out decision about their witnesses surprises me. But now he's being cross-examined today, David Pecker, and is revealing that he wasn't just, as Andrew Weissman put it yesterday on MSNBC, he wasn't just in cahoots with Donald J. Trump. He was actually in the habit of wheeling and dealing with several high-profile figures, celebrities, politicians, Rahm Emanuel, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Tiger Woods. It turns out that the former publisher for the National Enquirer bought and buried big stories for big stars. Can you imagine? Talk about a shocking headline. David Pecker buried stories for unfaithful men. I'm shocked. The gas station in Carbondale did not have scams. Who would have thunk? This is a plot twist. Trump did have some criticism today, though, for the courthouse's thermostat. I want to play this, Jared, because it's Friday. We're going to start off with a little fun sound here. This is Trump talking to the reporters. We've discussed how they have these cameras set out there now. They know they're going to be there for probably 5 or 6 weeks. So they want the best cameras possible. So every day he kind of gives them a comment. This was the comment today, cut one.
So we have another day of court in a freezing courthouse. It's very cold in there for one purpose, I believe. They don't seem to be able to get the temperature up. It shouldn't be that complicated, but we have a freezing courthouse. And that's fine. That's just fine. Let them keep handing it out. There's a rigged trial. Thank you very much, everybody.
I'm not going to jail, Mr. Trump. Do you think there's going to be a cold to make you uncomfortable?
That reporter's reading between the lines. Do you think they're keeping it cold to make you uncomfortable? I think he just said that. Or at least he heavily implied it. So Trump thinks that the courthouse is not turning up the temp. They're freezing him out, essentially. And you know, Jared, it's funny because I've heard about this with restaurants, where restaurants try to keep it cold so that people will order more food. Because if you're feeling chilly and you want to raise, you know, your body temp, you try to eat more. You don't even realize it's happening. But I've heard of that with restaurants. Don't know about courthouses, but it would make sense that they might be annoyed that he's dozing off during these, according to Maggie Haberman. And maybe they figure it's too warm in here. It's too cozy. We got to make it chilly so that he can't shut his eyes and have a little cat nap. I don't know. Well, I'm open to theories on this. But imagine, because that's the other thing. It's really irking the left that he's falling asleep during this historical and unprecedented trial. You have to be awake for this. It's crazy, too, because we have this trial. We have the E. Jean Carroll. There's an update on that from Libby Emmons. And then we also have Jack Smith and this immunity case that the Supreme Court's hearing. So today on Fox, Jared, they've got one half of the screen for the Supreme Court oral arguments. Then they have the other half of the screen for New York versus Trump, David Pecker, and, you know, the quotes coming out of that trial. And I thought, we're going to have to create like a red zone for these Trump cases, where you can just turn on the TV and there's all these different boxes of what's going on. It's really, really nuts. But again, it's not that they're weaponizing the DOJ. This is just justice being served. We'll be right back. We'll take your calls. 844-500-4242. Biden was interviewed by Howard Stern today. Don't know if he's a tougher interviewer than Drew Barrymore, but we'll play the sound for you and you can decide when we come back. You've waded through the cold temps in February and the rainy weather in March, and now the longer, warmer days are finally on their way. Spring means more flowers and sunshine. Jared, today's a perfect example. You know, you look outside, you go, oh, that looks so nice. I want to open the windows. But for someone like you, you open the windows, then we're all going to start hearing the sneezing pretty soon.
Yeah, I'm looking outside and I'm seeing all the blooms on the trees and the leaves are coming back. And that means pollen everywhere. And I hate pollen because of my seasonal allergies. And if you're like me, a lot of people do have the seasonal allergies. Even if you don't, you can get bothered by pollen because it's just gross. You want the Impure Thunderstorm because you want to eliminate those allergens and pollutants that are in the air. You know, getting a flowery smelling plug-in whatever isn't going to help you get rid of that air. It's just going to smell flowery and you're still going to be miserable. No, you want the ionized air that creates a super oxygen that eliminates those odors. That is what the Eden Pure Thunderstorm does.
Yes, and I want you to get the 3-pack special. It's such a great deal. And like Jared said, it's really helpful for people with allergies. It's also really helpful if you just want to eliminate odors, which I think everybody does at some point, want to eliminate any funky odors from their house, from their basement. So that's EdenPureDeals.com. Use code GRACE and the number 3. Again, that's EdenPureDeals.com to get the 3-pack. Don't forget to use the code GRACE and the number 3. We'll be right back. We've got an excellent TGIF show planned for all of you. Call in. I want to take a lot of calls before we bring on Libby. 844-500-4242. Lines are open, and we'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I think I've got Howie reading the Harvard Crimson now. Ever since Sprinklergate yesterday, he sent me a story today This is from the Crimson. The state legislature is considering an endowment tax. Experts say it could cripple Harvard. Say it ain't so. In that case, put me on board with the tax, man. Anything that is going to stop this insane institution that is clearly, I'm not going to accuse them of indoctrinating these sprinkler protesters, these brave Jew-hating losers, because I think they come in pretty ready to go. I don't think the school is responsible for their nuttiness per se, but they're definitely encouraging it and coddling these people. And I have no issue with an endowment tax. I say two thumbs up. I wanted to mention here, Jared, before we get into the poll question, which I know has to do with Biden and Howard Stern. So they're putting David Pecker on the stand, and he's kind of contradicting Alvin Bragg's whole case, because now he's saying that Trump basically said, like, I don't want to pay you to not put these stories out there because they're going to get out anyway. And really, when you think about it, if you've got Arnold Schwarzenegger, who could never be president even if he wanted to be, because he's not an American citizen.
Screw your freedom.
I should say he wasn't born in America. He might be a citizen at this point. Or Tiger Woods, unless Tiger Woods had presidential ambitions that we all don't know about. If he did the same thing for these other people, then it contradicts this idea that this was election interference or this was some sort of scheme or conspiracy by Donald Trump to not hurt his chances of being elected. Because unless that's why Tiger Woods was doing it, or Arnold Schwarzenegger was doing it, then it doesn't really make sense. And the other thing I'd add in here is the prosecution should have known that in cross-examination, the defense was going to ask these questions of David Pecker. It's like, is this the KJP law team? Like, how did they not foresee any of this coming? You don't ask questions you don't know the answer to, and you also, and Turley explained this today. We're going to play some of these cuts at some point. But Turley explained it. He's like, typically, if you know in cross-examination that a lot of this stuff's going to come out, which David Pecker is now, I don't think he means to, but he's destroying Alvin Bragg's case. If you know that's going to happen, you try to present it first. Like, you try to get it out there. You know, it's like anything else. You try to soften the soil a little bit, get your own take on it. But no, they're just letting it all come out in cross-examination, and it's really head-scratching because I don't understand how you can say Trump had this whole conspiracy to make sure that none of this came out, none of these hush money stories came out so that he could be president, if Rahm Emanuel and Tiger Woods and all these guys were doing the exact same thing. And no one's accusing David Pecker of election interference with any of those people. 844-500-4242. There's more to it as well. And I also want to talk about the jurors in this case, how there's two lawyers in the jury, and how that's going to affect the case as well. But in the meantime, we have so many things to talk about. We have a poll question to do, and then we have to, at some point, Jared, I don't know if we're going to be able to get to it all, but Adam Schiff's luggage stolen from a car in San Francisco.
Damn it, Sam Brinton. Come on, stop, man.
Do we know where he is?
Stop, man / woman, sorry.
Do we know where Sam Brinton is? Can he be reached for
apparently
comment?
He's in San Francisco. I'm sorry. Apparently they're in San Francisco.
It says Adam Schiff's luggage swiped from car in San Francisco, forcing him to attend fancy dinner in casual wear. Jared, please. Please give me some music for this. I have to wear my dark denim jeans and a leather jacket to a fancy dinner.
Were his formal dress eyes in there as well? Or?
Well, you know what I would say to Adam Schiff is, like, I hope you're enjoying the policies that you promote. The policies, the soft on crime policies that you're hoping are going to get you elected senator someday have resulted in you having your luggage stolen, swiped from your car. Or you know what I would say to him? I would use the old Seth Rogen. This is the price of living in a big city, man. This is the cost. Pay up. 844-500-4242. They took my bags, Schiff confirmed to the Chronicle, but I'm here to thank Joe. Referring to his high-profile lawyer, Joe Crockett, I guess it's welcome to San Francisco, Crockett spokesperson Lee Housekeeper bluntly told the newspaper. Yeah, that's what you get in San Francisco. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
You know, I hope next time Howie goes to Mar-a-Lago, he brings up the courthouse temperature to Trump. He's going to say, I think they do the same thing to me at the studio. Howie and I, for people who don't know, we are constantly, when he's home, which he's going to be back next week, when he's here in Massachusetts, it's a constant battle over the thermostat. And when he sees me turning the thermostat down, because I don't want the VIPs to swelter in here. It's a, especially Jared, we've got the glass. It's like a fishbowl. And he wants to keep it at 85 degrees. And he'll look at me with like daggers when I turn it down. And I look at him and I say, people are sweating. People are uncomfortable. I think it's nice and warm in here. So I think he could probably relate to Trump feeling as though someone's out to get him with the chilly courthouse temperature. I love how he says it shouldn't be difficult to do. Because, you know, he's used to, you know how we always talk about how he controls the iPad at Mar-a-Lago? He sits there with the iPad and controls the music. That's another thing. If you run a restaurant or something, I think that you become, or any sort of business like that, I think you become very controlling of the lights, the temperature, and the volume of the music. You ever walk into a restaurant, it's too bright, and you say to somebody, like, somebody's got to turn a light down in here. Or it's too dark. So Trump should go into the courthouse and say, listen, I've got some tips. Here's what we're going to do. Something's got to give.
I'm going to cross-examine the maintenance guy.
Well, what kind of operation are you running? Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint. Located in Ware, New Hampshire, Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is Biden told Howard Stern he will debate Trump. Will his handlers allow him to do that?
Yeah, he doesn't call the shot. So to give everyone a little bit of a rundown of Biden's schedule the last 24 hours, he went right from a fundraiser with Michael Douglas and Catherine Zeta-Jones. That was, I believe, last night. And he tied up a bunch of traffic in New York. And now he's doing he finished a live interview with COVID fanatic Howard Stern. This is on the heels, just to give you some context around this. This is on the heels of a piece that was in the New York Times, The Old Gray Lady, where they were bitching and moaning about how Biden doesn't give them interviews. They whined about not getting access to the most accessible, according to, you know, his staff, the most accessible, transparent, wonderful, popular president in history. They just can't get an interview with him. He prefers to be interviewed by Drew Barrymore, by TikTokers, by Seth Meyers, David Letterman. Who else? Who else has he done these really squishy, squishy interviews with? He just likes to get a nice sugar-coated interview, and he doesn't think he's going to get that from the New York Times. Let that soak in for a minute. He thinks that the New York Times is too critical of him. I go back to this headline a lot, but it, for some reason it stuck with me. A Harsanyi headline from The Federalist where he said the media is just not hackish enough for Joe Biden. Like, there's nothing they could do, Jared. They have bled out for this man. They have sold their souls so that he will just give them a little kiss on the forehead. And he still is like, not enough, not enough. You're too critical of me. And so what does he do? He sees this piece from the New York Times where they're saying, you know, this guy has not... Freedom of the press is important, and we haven't gotten an interview with him. And they just decide to talk about this now when his term is almost up, like 3.5 years into this. Now they're going to bring up, you know, he doesn't really do a lot of interviews with us. So he turns around and says, I'm going to go do an interview with Howard Stern. And in this interview, let's hear him talk about the debate. This is cut two, please.
I don't know if you're going to debate your opponent.
I am somewhere. I don't know when. Yeah. I'm happy.
Do you think it's going to happen? What about you, Jared? Do you think it's going to happen?
No.
I don't either.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't either. They can't bring him out. They can't bring him out to read off a teleprompter for like 7 minutes. You know what was a really great point? I was watching Megyn Kelly, and she had on Sarah Gonzalez, who I think we've had on the show before, actually. And she was talking about that speech where Biden read the word pause off the teleprompter. We played it on the show. And she said something I hadn't figured. She said that group of people, this like small crowd that they curated to stand in front of Joe Biden, they clearly were instructed to start a chant of 4 more years, because that's why his team wrote in his script, the script of his life at this point. They script out everything. They wrote pause, Jared, because they knew that they had instructed these lemmings, these seals, to start chanting 4 more years, and then he was supposed to pause while people chanted 4 more years. That is how Truman showed this whole thing is. And even with that, he bungled it. Even with all of the instruction in the world, you can put all the puppet strings you want on this guy, he's going to break free and Leroy Jenkins everything. He's going to mess it up. There is nothing he can't mess up. And so my final vote on this is no, he is not going to debate.
Yeah, 86% of the audience agrees under no circumstance will he be allowed to debate Donald Trump.
No.
14% think they will, yes, reluctantly allow him to do that.
Yeah, we should play cuts from this Howard Stern interview. It's getting a lot of attention right now because it's not often we hear Joe Biden live. And, you know, I could complain about how Howard Stern isn't going to give a hardball interview, because Howard Stern, if you haven't tuned in recently, he's not what he used to be. According to older people that I know, Jared, Howard Stern used to at one point be like, he was the man. He was the man that everybody yep. listened to. He was shocking and cutting edge and was, you know, is borderline sometimes offensive. And that's why people liked him, is because he was
cross
a shock
the border.
Okay. Okay. Cross
crossed
the border.
The border.
Like yeah. I said, I'm not, I didn't listen to him, but I do see cuts of him now, and he's really brainwashed. Like he is.
He just, I guess, got comfortable being a celebrity that he used to dislike, but he got into the life, and now...
He loves it now.
And,
doesn't leave his house because
yeah.
Of COVID. He's in a league with, like, Stephen Colbert, of people who are so obsessed with Joe Biden and truly do love him, like, truly do think that he's great. And so let's play a little bit of this, because it doesn't matter. At this point, it's like I said about the teleprompter. It doesn't matter if you're a hard-hitting interviewer. It doesn't matter if you ask tough questions. He's going off the rails either way. So you could plop him in front of like a golden retriever, and he's going to make headlines. Let's have cut four, because he's going through the list of colleges that he attended. Cut four, please.
You were at Syracuse.
I was at Syracuse. It's a good law school.
Right.
But I thought I was going to go to either... Cornell or no, anyway,
let's play the next one. Cut five.
I got put in that 10 most eligible bachelor's list
because you were United States senator. You were a catch,
and a lot of lovely women, but women would send very salacious pictures, and I just give them to the Secret Service. I thought somebody would think I was, and I just gave up.
He's an old pervert. I mean, that's just, I can wax poetic and try to dissect the interview, but that's really what these all come down to. He's an old pervert. He wants to talk about nude photos. He wants to talk about, you know, telling the Secret Service about his sex life with Dr. Jill. It's gross. I got one word to describe all this. Ick. Or how about this? Yuck. This is what he does now. He sits with Howard Stern and he talks about nude photos. President of the United States. Wonderful. And meanwhile, we're all supposed to care about these cases with Donald Trump and the National Enquirer from years ago. They want to focus on that. And meanwhile, this guy, Is anyone else getting the sense that Joe Biden is seeing Donald Trump in NYC and he's getting a little FOMO? He's like, oh, they're talking about all his affairs and, you know, all this hush money in New York City. He's going to construction sites. Like, he's really, he's stepping on my toes here. This is supposed to be me. I'm the peacock here. I'm the one who's supposed to be getting attention. So what does he do? He flies to New York City to get interviewed by Howard Stern and talk about his own salacious stories. It's a little bit, I'm getting a little bit of envy. A little bit of look at me.
Yeah. I also live a crazy lifestyle like Trump. You know, I've had tons and tons of women in my life, you know.
What was that thing, Jared, where they put the they put Trump on, or maybe it was Marla Maples, they put her on a magazine and it said like best sex ever or something. It was something to do with having sex with Donald Trump. This is now he's saying, now Joe Biden's talking to Howard Stern going, I was one of the most eligible bachelors and people would send me nude photos. It's like, okay, Grandpa, we believe you. We just don't want to hear it. We just don't want to hear it. Even Howard Stern's probably like, ugh. Okay, let's go to the next one. Cut six. This is now we've gone from old pervert Biden to now he's going to be tough guy Biden. Cut six.
But like, for example, you know, I mean, Trump makes fun of me.
Right.
He was the kind of guy in the neighborhood. I wish he could have gotten in the neighborhood, meet head to head. But at any rate.
So this is like his taken behind the gym thing, which I've also heard before. Cut seven, please. This is the last cut we have, and then we'll move on from this riveting interview.
And I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me remember. True story. She said, remember when they were desegregating Linfield, the neighborhood, into a 70 homes built at one suburbia. And I told you, and there was a black family moving in, and there was people were down there protesting. I told you not to go down there, and you went down. Remember that? And you came, got arrested, be standing on the porch with a black family.
Right.
And they brought you back, the police. And I said, yeah, Mom, I remember that.
You know what really gets under my skin is when he's getting interviewed and he's making absolutely no sense. And I will say this, I understand why people do this, because if you're talking to a really old person and they start going off, most of us will say, yeah, uh-huh, yeah, right. But if your job is to be the person conducting the interview and like kind of keeping it on track, don't you have to push back a little bit and go, what are we talking about again? I'm lost. Where are we? It's like when you're talking to someone and you almost leave your body and you start watching the conversation from afar and you're like, am I still here? Am I still standing here? Are we still having this conversation? He won't stop. He's still going. But if you're on serious XM, you're supposedly like the king of talk, don't you at some point have to step in and go, hold on, back up here.
Let's dissect this.
Yeah, let's take it chunk by chunk. Let's take small bites. 844-500.
Has anyone ever called their mom honey, by the way?
Did he say he called his mom honey? I missed that.
Oh, yeah, that was right at the beginning.
Play that again for me. He loves honey.
I looked at my mom. I said, honey, you haven't said anything. She said, Joey, let me remember.
He's big on honey. He calls his kids honey. His dad called him honey. He calls his mom honey. They're a honey family. By the way, did you see that there's a new strategy? I didn't plan on talking Biden because we do have a lot of serious news here with these anti-Israel encampments and the sprinklers and, you know, all that nonsense. We are going to get to that. We are going to talk to Libby Emmons about these Trump trials and about so much more. But I'm just going to get this off my desk now so I can just toss it right in the bin. The Biden administration has, there's two big stories today about the Biden administration. One is that they're changing his walking routine to Marine One. They've tried so many strategies. It's like a six-pronged approach. It reminds me of when they said they had strategies for the border. We have a seven-pronged plan for the border. They have a 15-pronged plan for how to keep Joe Biden out of trouble. First, it was the hovercraft shoes. Those big, thick, orthopedic, in his little orthopedic shoes. First, it was that. Then it was shorten the stairs. Don't let him go up the big stairs to Air Force One. It's a tripping hazard. Now, when he walks across the lawn, they're hoping that if they surround him with aides as kind of like a barrier, if they encircle him and just kind of like all go around, they can get him to Air Force One, or they can get him to Marine One without too much interaction with the press. So they're going to do, you're laughing, Jared, this is what it says.
Yeah, I'm just envisioning like the when they had to bring the Beatles out to the limousine and everybody kind of like moved around in a circle on them so they couldn't.
Yeah, it's probably where they got their inspiration from. It says some Biden advisors have told Axios they're concerned that videos of Biden walking and shuffling along, especially across the grass, have highlighted his age. Yeah, but I'm sure, you know, surrounding him with a mob of aides and shuffling him out there in disguise. Why don't you just put a hat on him and a mustache? And that should probably ease the concerns over his age. That should probably make us all feel better about how this is going. Oh, I was worried that he was old, but now that he's in disguise walking across the White House lawn, I realized I'm being a fool. Everything's fine. We're in good hands. We'll be right back. We're going to talk. There's a ton to get to here. There's another big story from the White House about Karine Jean-Pierre, but I don't have time right now. We need to take a break. Face it, the world is a scary place. I don't have to tell you guys that. You know it from turning on the news. You probably know it from walking outside, depending on where you live. And it seems like the current administration is hell-bent on making it more difficult. Not only do they want to let people out of prison who've committed crimes and so they can recommit crimes, they want to make it easier for people to steal things, to break in, but they also want to make it harder for you to protect yourself. It's really backwards, and it's a problem. So FlipLock is here to help you fix that problem, to help you protect your family. And the great thing about the FlipLock security door lock is it's unpickable, it's unbreakable, and it can withstand over 1,500 pounds of pressure. This is a wonderful last line of defense. I keep telling people, I'm like, security does not mean expensive. Security does not mean complicated installation, Wi-Fi, cameras. That's great if you can do that. But this is a super simple way to get started securing your home and securing your family, protecting your family for something that's not expensive and that really works. And that's what matters. So if you want to try out FlipLock, I really encourage you to go to FlipLock.com and watch the video. See how this device works. It's so simple, but it's so effective. In fact, Revere Public Schools installed FlipLocks in their classrooms. That is how trusted this device is. Doesn't need to be expensive, like I said. Go to FlipLock.com and you can save 20% when you enter code GRACE20. It's FLIPLOK.com. Don't forget code GRACE20 to save 20%. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
A lot of people are tagging me on Twitter for this Adam Schiff story, so I want to give you a little bit more information. The Democrat was in San Francisco for a few days. This is from the New York Post, and had parked his car in a downtown garage before a gathering with supporters. Remember, he's running for the late Senator Difi's seat in the Senate. But before the dinner at Ristoran Rocco in nearby Burlingham. Did I say that right, Jared? You're a California guy. No idea.
I'm not as familiar with Northern California.
He fell victim to a car break-in, losing his bags, which left him without a suit for the occasion. Yes, they took my bags, Schiff confirmed to the Chronicle. A photo from the restaurant obtained by the publication shows Schiff was the most dressed-down diner at his table. No! The lawmaker was spotted standing up and offering remarks while wearing a long-sleeve shirt under a hiking vest. So yeah, I think that this is how San Francisco welcomes most people, right? You go to visit San Francisco and your car is going to get broken into, and that's the price of living in a big city. And that's also some of the benefits of having Democrats control San Fran. Now, if only... What did we talk about yesterday with San Francisco? I believe we mentioned that the mayor was MIA, because I'm sure she would love to say to Adam Schiff, listen, this never happens. This is a rare occurrence. Unfortunately, she's on panda watch in China trying to get a panda for the San Francisco Zoo. So she's unavailable at the moment. We'll be back with Libby Emmons from the Post Millennial. Don't go anywhere. It's the Grace Curley Show.